on 98 FM and online. This is Phoenix FM.
Welcome in all listeners, this is the main event you've all been waiting for. Introducing the undefeated, the undisputed best boxing show in the world. Hailing across Essex, East London, Essex, coming to you live from Phoenix 98 FM. Welcome to On The Ropes.
Hello, I'm Carl Frampton and you're listening to On The Ropes with Mark and Charlie Foley.
It's Sunday, it's 8 p.m. and it's Phoenix 98 FM, it's On The Ropes and it's live! Hope everyone is healthy and well and benefiting from that extra hour in bed this morning. I'm on my lonesome tonight as Charlie is on daddy daycare duties, but he will be joining us in part two to discuss all things boxing as usual. If you're listening, a very special birthday wishes to my big brother David Mad Dog Foley. He's celebrating his 48th birthday today. Hope you had a wonderful day, David, and I bet the kids have spoilt you. You know, it's a tricky period at the moment. You know, we're all missing loved ones and whatnot. But I'm going to start the show really with a bit of a song, and this should get us all up, not just our friends that we're missing, you know, our family, and obviously Charlie's not here tonight, so I'm missing him. But I'm going to start the show slightly differently this week with a bit of a song before I go into part one of the show and news and views. I'm going to play this one for you. It's Charlie Pugh, See You Again. Enjoy this one. I'll catch you very soon.
It's been a long day without you, my friend, and I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. We've come a long way from where we began. Oh, I'll tell you all about it when I see you again, when I see you again.
Damn. Knew. All the planes we flew, good things we've been through, that I'll be standing right here talking to you about another path. I know we love to hit the road and laugh, but something told me that it wouldn't last. Had to switch up, look at things different, see the bigger picture. Those were the days, hard work forever pays. Now I see you in a better place. See you in a better place. Can we not talk about family when family's all that we got? Everything I would do, you were standing there by my side. And now you gon' be with me for the last ride.
It's been a long day without you, my friend, and I'll tell you all about it when I see you again.
I see you again.
We've come a long way,
yeah, we came a long way
from where we began.
You know we started.
Oh, I'll tell you all about it when I see you again.
I'll tell you.
When I see you.
You both go out your way and the vibe is feeling strong. And what's small turn to a friendship turn to a bond. And that bond will never be broken, the love will never get lost. And when brotherhood come first, then the line will never be crossed. Established it on our own when that line had to be drawn. And that line is what we reach, so remember me when I'm gone. Can we not talk about family when family's all that we got? Everything I went through, you were standing there by my side. And now you gon' be with me for the last ride.
So let the light guide your way, yeah. Hold every memory as you go, and every road you take. Without you, my friend, and I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. We've come a long way from where we began. Oh, I'll tell you all about it when I see you again. When
Seconds Out, part one. As I said, guys, news and views as always. Eddie Hearn has named two possible fights for the Anthony Joshua versus Kubrat Pulev card on December the 12th. Previous guest Lawrence Okolie is one of those guys. He could be facing Christoph Glowacki for the WBO Cruiserweight title, and John Ryder versus David Lemieux is another possibility for the WBA Super Middleweight mandatory title shot. Now, this could be a very tasty bill. I'd love to see fans back in the stadium personally, and I'm sure Charlie would feel that way also. As I said, Lawrence Okolie, former Lion Boys amateur boxer, as well as boxing for Repton. Hopefully he can become a world champion. He's destined for it, I feel. He's a very awkward fighter. You know, he's tall, very, very tall cruiserweight. Does possess some power. Does look ugly on the eye at times, but I think he can nod it over the line and certainly become a world title holder. Something that he feels that he is due, he's destined for. When we spoke to him last year, he felt that he would go on to become a world champion, and he was hoping to put it all back into the community in East London and help the underprivileged children. So yeah, best of luck to Lawrence Okolie. Hopefully he gets that shot on what could be a mouth-watering card on December the 12th. Also announced this week in the heavyweight division, Dave Allen. He will face Christopher Lovejoy in a heavyweight clash on the Usyk versus Chisora undercard next Saturday, October 31st. Interesting fight this, as Lovejoy is 19-0. He's also WBA ranked number 15, and Dave Allen needs to get back in the mix after some really poor defeats of late. Lovejoy admittedly has fought bums, to be fair, but he does have that respectable 15 WBA ranking, as we touched on, for Dave Allen really to go after. If Lovejoy loses, he could be back to Soccer AM or Sunday Kitchen. Charlie, you'll like that gag listening from home, I'm sure. Eddie Hearn also has reiterated that his plan is to make the Juan Estrada versus Roman Gonzalez unification rematch in early 2021. Now, we saw that bill in Mexico early hours of Saturday morning. Myself and Charlie will be going through that in part two of the show. But Estrada defended his WBC belt by stopping Carlos Cuadras in a fantastic fight, but we'll be talking about that in part two. Now, Kell Brook this week has revealed that Carlos Formento will be training him for the Terence Crawford fight on November 14th. He has been working with the Spanish coach out in Fortaventura. This for me is very, very strange. I touched on this with Charlie offline tonight. Brook, he still boxes wearing that Kronks t-shirt. We had hoped and speculated that he might have been joining the Kronks gym. That's not the case. This is a career-defining fight for Kell Brook. What I'm really surprised by is he's gone with a relatively unknown trainer here. Formento has coached, the Swede Anthony Yigit. Someone that's not really, really well-known in the boxing community, this coach. And this suggests to me that Kell Brook is taking this as a money fight, you know, at the end of his career. Now, Brook needs to prove everyone wrong or his career is firmly over. Really, really surprised by this move from Kell Brook. He obviously left Dominic Ingle. You know, every boxing pundits and fans were expecting a big name coach to be in the mix, but he's gone with Carlos Formento, a relatively unknown Spanish coach. Very, very surprising news. As I said, it's been that sort of period of boxers. They need to be back in the ring. They need to be back in action. It's coming up to that time of the year where Christmas is upon us. COVID has struck everyone in all industries, and boxers do need to be fighting. But it does feel to me that Kell Brook has taken this for financial gains more than anything else. Announced also this week, disappointed by this news, if we're perfectly honest here at On The Ropes, Billy Joe Saunders will defend his WBO Super Middleweight title against Martin Murray on December the 4th at Wembley Arena. Sorry, seriously, I mean, bit of a joke fight this for Billy Joe Saunders. It was arranged a few years ago and Billy Joe had injured his hand and it was called off originally against Martin Murray. Martin Murray's towards the end of his career now. You know, Billy Joe is not fighting, a Martin Murray in his prime. The one highlight about this bout, if I'm perfectly honest, it comes on Friday, December the 4th, and Saturday the 5th, we've got a full day of boxing, mouth-watering fights with Luke Campbell versus Garcia. and we've got the Gypsy King back in action on December the 5th. We should get his opponent named over the next few weeks. We've also got Anthony Yard potentially versus Lyndon Arthur on that show, and also announced over the weekend that Michael Conlon versus Isaac Dogby will also be on that bill. So hopefully we can have boxing fans back in the stadium, wherever that may be. It's likely probably to be at London's O2. And Bob Arum has revealed that the two front runners for Tyson Fury's fight on December the 15th are currently Ajit Kabiyal and Carlos Takam. So hopefully boxing fans can be back in the arena. I mean, I would certainly love to get to that if that was the case. Announced this week also, Liam Williams has vacated his British middleweight title. So the British Boxing Board of Control have now confirmed that Mark Heffron versus Denzel Bentley, the rematch on November the 13th, will be for the vacant British title. Now, Felix Cash has been named as the mandatory for the winner. Charlie, I'm sure you're listening, and hopefully Danny Dignam, local lad and former guest of the show, hopefully you're listening. I would love to see Danny Dignam given his shot for a British title very, very soon. I mean, obviously, Liam Williams has proven that he's probably too strong domestically. He's been blasting people away, and he's, you know, he's ready to make that step for a world title challenge again. And I think he thoroughly deserves it. We've touched on that recently on our shows. But personally, I'd love to see Danny Dignam get in the mix there. I mean, him versus Felix Cash, if Felix Cash goes on to win that belt after the winner of Mark Heffron versus Denzel Bentley, would be a fantastic and fascinating bout. So hopefully, as I said, Danny, a local boy, can get back in the mix very, very soon. And he is due a fight. He's not been in action this year, and I'm sure that that COVID you know, is something that's holding him back a little bit, and I'm pretty sure that he's keen to get back in the boxing ring very, very soon. Also, now, Bob Arum has stated over the weekend, if Teofimo Lopez, if he is going to stay at lightweight, the fight that he would like to see would be versus Ryan Garcia. Now, obviously, Garcia's got to get past Campbell first. And Oscar De La Hoya said, I cannot wait to do this. Teofimo Lopez is the future with Ryan Garcia. That's the fight to make. I mean, this would be a Hagler versus Hearns type stuff, fairy tale stuff. Two youngsters at the top of their game, both, you know, in the elite names of the division. Obviously, Garcia's got to come through that Campbell fight first. If he can, Campbell will be no easy opponent, that's for sure. So, yeah, that would be great to see if it could happen somewhere down the line. Big fight also confirmed this week, a superb battle between two undefeated fighters here in the UK on the Golden Contract final card, as Danny Darko Mbenke versus Harlem Eubank. Now, Eubank is 10-0. Ibunke is 6-0. They've both beaten Martin McDonagh on their resume. You know, Darko is trained here in Essex at the Newlands Gym in Wickford. He's trained by Kevin Lilly, who's a fantastic trainer. You know, that should be a fantastic, fantastic bout. That's going to be December the 2nd. And it's going to be at the Production Park Studios. So keep an eye on that. And it will be live on Sky Sports as part of the Golden Contract final. So that is, you know, that's looking to be a fantastic card. Something that I'm certainly really, really looking forward to. I'm going to leave you now with another bit of a song. Now this, as I mentioned, David, our eldest brother, is celebrating his 48th birthday today. I remember him dancing around his bedroom to this one back in 1987 when it was released in July. This was played every night in our household as our brother David, during his dating days, would be getting himself ready. So I'm going to play this one. It's Rick Astley, Never Gonna Give You Up, and we'll have Charlie on the line in part two.
Thank you.
Cracking stuff, Rick Astley back in July 1987. What a track. Seconds out, part two. As I said, listeners, we're going to be joined on the line from Charlie, who's had a very, very busy day. Charlie, how's your day been with the kids?
Hello, bro. Yeah, it's been busy, frantic, as you can imagine. Run me ragged. Finally in bed, sat down now, cup of coffee. Listening to your mundane voice, I can't believe it. I thought I was getting a break from you this week.
There's a little bit of feedback there, Charlie. You must have on the ropes on in the front room there, because I can hear every single word that's coming straight back at me.
Not me, bro. No, not me. I haven't got Phoenix on at all. I don't know what you're talking about.
You might want to switch off Alexa. So, like I said, part two, really, we're going to be discussing... Friday night's action from live from Mexico City. DAZN and Matchroom brought us the event early hours of Saturday morning here in the UK. Now, WBC Super Flyweight Contest, Estrada got the win, Charlie, in the 11th round. He had Quadras down twice. I mean, what a fight. I mean, this could have been fight of the year. Estrada was down in the third, and he got off the canvas, as I said, to stop Quadras in the 11th round. I mean, Estrada, Charlie, were you impressed? He's got to be up there pound for pound as one of the finest now. And obviously, where does he go next from here?
Yeah, Mark, very impressed. He was put down, you're right, he was put down in the third round, double left hook by Quadras. Quadras never been down. Their records were very similar. I think Estrada had 30 fights, Quadras had 32. It was a rematch. Estrada, not his normal self, you know. Normally he's a counter-puncher, but this fight, it was two Mexicans fighting in Mexico for a world title. They left nothing outside the ring, they left it all in the ring. You're right, fight of the year for me, an absolute belter of a fight. Round 11, if you haven't seen it, fight fans, go on YouTube, have a little look. I'm telling you, round 11, Quadras was down three times. The second knockdown, the ref should have stepped in and stopped. So he was all over the place. He had a heart of a lion, kept going. He was throwing bombs from all over the ring. You know, it was real do or die moments, you know, in that round 11. But the ref done the right thing. You know, third time round, he stepped in and stopped it because Quadras just couldn't continue. He, as I said, he had the heart. But, you know, those punches from Estrada were just taking their toll. Where does Estrada go next? Well, there's only one guy. You know, they're talking about Gonzalez, aren't they? Chicolito, another rematch. But there's only one guy I'd love to see him fight, and that is Cesar Martinez. He was in action as well on the undercard. Phenomenal little boxer, the WBO flyweight champion. Cesar Martinez is your man. But Estrada, very impressive. But, you know, how much would that fight have taken out of him? You know, that was a real dogged performance. But, you know, that flyweight division, Mark, wide open.
And you spoke about Martinez in the past, Charlie, but you touched on the referee as well. Now, I think credit where credit's due. We saw some horrific refereeing from Terry O'Connor last weekend, but this weekend I felt it was the right decision. Obviously, I thought the timing of the stoppage was spot on for me. You sort of questioned it. Should it have been stopped a little bit earlier? For me, no, because Quadras is a true warrior. But I just want to highlight the refereeing, and I thought it was spot on this week.
Yeah, I think, well, like I said, the only little bit of debate you could argue with is that second you know, the second time he touched the canvas, he got up, and on about eight, his legs weren't steady, and the ref asked him to put his arms up, and even then I was like, wow, he's still a little bit wobbly here. But, you know, the occasion where it was, you know, an all-Mexican affair in Mexico. The ref let him go on, and he kept throwing bombs, and I couldn't believe it. But eventually Estrada, you know, the body combinations, just the variation of punches really, just took their toll on Cuadras, and the ref done the right thing, absolutely.
And you touched there on Chocolito Gonzalez. He got the win against his namesake Gonzalez. Now that's his 50th win of his career. Now the Estrada rematch is what everyone wants for that WBA super flyweight championship. I mean, is it likely to happen? Obviously Eddie Hearn wants it to happen, but you know, if it does happen, and Estrada does get the win, Charlie, pound for pound, he has to be up there. Yes, that Martinez fight could be mouth-watering. El Rey Martinez got the win in first round fashion on Saturday morning and was very impressive again. You know, real power. We saw him against Charlie Edwards last year at the O2, and he looked fantastic that night. So yeah, I mean, Estrada, pound for pound, he has to be up there, probably in the top three now, would you say? But yeah, most certainly, if he goes on to beat Chocolito and then Martinez, he will be deemed, you know, possibly number one pound for pound.
Well, whoever beats Martinez has to be ranked as a pound for pound. It's certainly in the top two or top three, because if you can get past Martinez and you can get past Gonzalez again, then yeah, you would argue that he's definitely pound for pound. But I don't think he is going to. He might get past Gonzalez, Mark. He's got his number in terms of he beat him first time around. I don't think he's going to get past Martinez. I really don't. If you saw him last night, it was a second round knockout, actually, not a first round. But the first round, he wobbled him as well. The second round, he's so clever. He was just literally, you know, going from southpaw to orthodox. You wouldn't even know it. Left hooks, right hooks, bodies. He had the guy down in the second round. First round, he wobbled him. Martinez is your man. He's 25 years of age. He's a WBO champion. Like you said, he schooled Charlie Edwards over in England. He also schooled Jay Harris. Jay Harris went out there. And Jay Harris is a good little fighter. So too is Charlie Edwards. And he took them apart relatively easy. So I think if you get past Cesar Martinez, then you are warranted to be a pound-for-pound great.
And Charlie, do you see much of Amo Williams? He got his fifth stoppage of his career. I mean, this kid's being tipped, and obviously Eddie Hearn managed the Matchroom and the Zone. Big things expected from him. You know, looks an impressive stoppage, but against a pretty average fighter.
Yeah, I think he's being cherry-picked at the moment. I mean, I've seen him over in the UK. He's been on a couple of bills. I met him down at Spitfields. He's very arrogant for me. He's certainly a pumped-up young lad, and I don't know if he's the real deal. He makes out as if he is, but you know, they're cherry picking his opponents at the moment, and he's got all the mouth for sure. You know, let's get into double digits before I even kind of look at him. I'm not even, you know, rating him at the moment because it's too early. And you know, a lot of these young lads, you know, they start calling out everyone before. I think he was calling Fowler out saying he was going to finish his career. I mean, you know, come on, you've had five fights, like, chill out a little bit. Let's see where he is in about 15, you know, after 15 fights. If he's still 15-0 after then, and he's fought someone decent, then I'll start looking at him or racing him. But at the moment, you know, he goes under the radar. He's relatively a novice for me.
I just want to move on to next week's bill. I mean, not just here in the UK, but there's some tasty bills to mention. Obviously, the big one coming from the UK, that'll be Saturday night, Fright Night, as Derek Chisora is calling it, Saturday the 31st of October, Sky Sports pay-per-view, Derek Chisora versus Alexander Usyk. Can we expect an upset here, Charlie? Tailor the tape quickly before I get your thoughts. Usyk, 33 years of age now, undefeated in 17. This is his second heavyweight bout, ranked number one by the WBO and number two by the WBC and IBF. 76% knockout ratio versus Del Boy Chisora, who's now 36 years old, I should say. 32 wins and 9 losses. 72% KO ratio. He made his professional debut in 2007. He's been around a long time, Charlie. He's been in with some cracking fights. Can he cause a major upset here for you?
In a nutshell, no. I don't think he can. I really don't. I wish him well. I really do. For me, he's had a lot of tough fights recently. I know he's on a bit of a resurgent in terms of his career. He's under David Haye, you know. He's really trying, really training hard. But I think Usyk, Mark, IQ-wise, you know, southpaw as well. Chisora, yes, he's beat southpaws, but he hasn't really been in with a world-level southpaw. And I just think the way Usyk broke Tony Bellew down, you know, and Tony Bellew, don't get me wrong, was a great dogged fighter at cruiserweight, and he was talking that he had the punch power, and Usyk just didn't give him the range to get into range to let that power go. And I think it's going to be the same with Chisora. You know, Usyk's going to know exactly what to do. He's going to keep him at bay. I'd love to see him tested, don't get me wrong, because he hasn't been hit by a heavyweight. I'd love to see Chisora land and see how sturdy Usyk is in terms of resilience. Can he take those punches? But I just think his IQ is going to be too much for him, and he's too slick. And he's just a character. I mean, both men are characters, to be fair, so it's certainly going to be a good fight, but I can't see Chisora getting close to him, Mark. I really can't.
See, for me, I don't think Alexander Usyk carries the punch at heavyweight. Obviously, time will tell. I agree with you, IQ-wise, a very, very gifted boxer. Look at Lomachenko versus Lopez. I'm not suggesting that Chisora can fight anywhere near to the level that Lopez fought against Lomachenko. But I think Chisora possesses a heavyweight punch. Now, look, I don't know how it's going to go. I think Usyk probably does get the win, but it might be over 12 rounds. But he better stay away from Chisora's right hand. I mean, it is fierce. So one mistake from Usyk, and if he comes over the top of that right hand, let's see if Usyk can take, you know, the power of a heavyweight fighter. That's the big question.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I mean. That's why I'm so intrigued by it. I want to see someone land on Usyk, you know, a real heavyweight land on Usyk to see whether or not he can take it. But I just don't think you might get a glimpse of it, one or two, throughout the fight. But I just don't think Usyk will fight Del Boy's fight. He's not going to stand there toe-to-toe. He's going to use his ring craft, and he's going to keep him at bay, you know. And he's going to I know he can't hit Usyk where he looks like he can't hit, but he's going to break him down. He's going to break him down, whether it's with body shots, whether or not we're just, you know, a sustained jab. He's literally going to break Chisora down into the later rounds for sure. He might even stop him, Mark, for me. Just pure exhaustion from Chisora, maybe rounds 10 or 11. It might be a late stoppage, but certainly if it goes to points, then I fancy Usyk.
And obviously Lee Selby's on the card, Charlie, against George Kambosos Jr. Now this is for the IBF World Lightweight Championship. Can Selby do it? Is he ready? Is he in the prime? He's coming to the latter stages of his career. I personally don't know too much about Kambosos Jr. You know, it's a fight. They're both in there. They both deserve their shot. But can Lee Selby come away with that belt?
Well, it's a very tough one, Mark. It's a very good question. You know, this is the IBF eliminator, so the winner will be mandatory for Teofimo Lopez. So it won't get any easier if Selby does come through this. And let's remember, he's going up in weight. You know, I've seen clips of him on YouTube and stuff. Yes, he looks like he's beefed up in terms of he's been on the weights and strength and conditioning. But apparently, you know, Kambosos, the Australian, he's already whipped his backside in sparring over the years. You know, there was a bit of a heated exchange that I caught up with in one of the interviews on YouTube, and he was literally saying, you know, I whooped you in four rounds in sparring a few years ago. You know, you're not my league. You know, coming up in weight, I'm going to teach, you know, he's literally saying he's an old man. I'm going to teach you, you know, a lesson, old man. So it's an intriguing fight, but, you know, if Selby does come through this, it's going to be a tough one. And then does he really want to go in with Teofimo Lopez? I mean, it doesn't get any easier for him, does it? It really doesn't.
No, I don't think he'll fancy that one. And as you said, he has stepped up to lightweight. Is he going to possess any power there? It's going to be an interesting fight. Let's see what type of Lee Selby turns up Saturday night. Also on that bill, we've got Tommy McCarthy versus Bilal Laguni. And we've got Savannah Marshall and Hannah Rankin finally getting together for that title shot.
Fantastic, Mark. I'm fantastic to see Tommy McCarthy. You know, he's surprise package. Is it for the European title, I think?
That's correct. It is for the European title.
Yeah, cruiserweight. So, again, that division is pretty stacked at the moment. Certainly in Britain, you know, Chris Billam-Smith, you've got a cruiserweight, you've got Riakpor, you know, Tommy McCarthy might be the surprise package. You know, he went out to Italy to win that title, didn't he? That was a great performance from him that night. So, you know, yes, pleased to see him. Savannah Marshall, you know, obviously was cancelled, wasn't it, earlier in the month due to COVID. Rankin fancies it big time. She is well up for it. She's been on TalkSport and everything, giving it the big one. So she's really looking forward to it. She thinks she can, you know, take Marshall to town. I don't think she can, personally. I think Savannah Marshall will be... She's too big and too strong. I think she wins that. You've also got, let's not forget, Dave Allen versus Chris Lovejoy. That'll be an interesting one. You know, Christian Hammer's pulled out of that one, hasn't he? So this Lovejoy fella, I mean, he hasn't really fought anyone. Yet he's like ranked 15 by the WBA.
Yeah, we touched on that one actually. I touched on that in part one of the show, and I thought you might have liked the gag, because if Lovejoy loses that one, he's going back to Soccer AM or Sunday Kitchen. So, yeah, I mean, he's a relatively unknown. He has fought bums. He's got 19-0. I think he fought only one opponent with a winning record. So he's fought nobody, and this could be the pinnacle fight for Dave Allen. He's had some shocking performances over the last year or so, obviously notably the Price, David Price fight. He needs to get himself back in the mix. He's gone from, you know, becoming potentially a good domestic fighter to a very average one, Charlie. And, you know, this could get him back on track.
Exactly. I mean, if he can pinch a top 15 ranking by the WBA, I mean, that's fantastic. And then that opens up the door. You know, Matchroom have got so many heavyweights under their belt that, you know, I think they'll use Dave Allen as a bit of a gatekeeper. You know, so if he takes that top 15 ranking, then, you know, they'll give it, you know, there'll be another British affair, whether it's, I don't know, Fabio Wardley or someone like that, who could potentially pinch that off Dave Allen. So it's going to be a bit of a, you know, a merry-go-round for rankings, really. But, and it's all in-house. That's all Matchroom wants it. So it will be in-house if he can get past this Lovejoy. Like we said, a bit of an unknown entity. No one really knows nothing about him yet. I think he was actually he was ranked 10th at one point by the WBA earlier this year, Mark, and they literally downgraded him because he's been very inactive. He's 36. I don't know how he got that ranking. He might have a few quid in his bank account. That's why he's paid his way up to a top 10 ranking. I don't know. But it's an intriguing one because, like we said, Dave Allen has literally gone from, you know, we thought his career was over when he got, you know, spiced out by Dave Price, but now he could potentially be in a top 15 world ranking. It's amazing and bizarre at the same time.
And that's why, as you touched on it, he could be the gatekeeper. You got the likes of, you know, Alan the Savage Babich, even Fabio Wardley waiting in the wings to really push themselves up the ladder domestically and with those world rankings. So, yeah, very, very big night for Dave Allen. It's probably come as a bit of a surprise for him at very short notice, but Dave Allen is always in the gym. You know, he's always sparring the top heavyweights. You know, he's always keeping himself very, very active. So, big night for Dave Allen.
Yeah, well, he was out with Usyk, wasn't he? He was in Ukraine a month or so ago training with Usyk. So whether or not he's feeding stuff back to Chisora's camp or what, I don't know. Or Usyk just wanted, you know, a bit of a heavyweight punch bag just for sparring. Because Dave Allen, really, he's not a fully-fledged heavyweight, is he? You could class him as maybe a cruiserweight, really. He's certainly not a top heavyweight in terms of weight or stature. But, yeah, so, it's a good opportunity for him. And he obviously looks focused. He looks like he's ready. And I'll be interested to see where he goes after this fight, if he is successful.
Now, Charlie, two other big bills to talk about before I let you go. Sunday morning, estimated ring walk, 3 a.m. here in the UK. Get ready for this one, guys. If you can't sleep due to Halloween and something's frightening and keeping you up, get this on the telly. Javonte the Tank Davis will face Leo Santa Cruz on Saturday the 31st of October at the Mohegan Sun Arena in Connecticut. Cannot wait. Santa Cruz will be defending his WBA Super Featherweight Championship belt for the first time. Now, he won this title against Miguel Flores in November 2019. He's had the belt now for 11 months and 2 days. Just one defeat on the cards for these two men, and that was Santa Cruz, who lost to Carl Frampton. This should be a belter, an intriguing fight, a puncher versus a boxer. Can Santa Cruz take the Tank's power? And also on the undercard, Charlie, Regis Prograis back in action against Juan Hurdales, and Mario Barrios versus Ryan Cole. They clash for the WBA World Super Lightweight Belt. Diego Magdaleno and Isaac Cruz Gonzalez clash also on this bill. Should be an intriguing fight. One of the big, big fights coming now towards the end of the year.
Yeah, absolutely, Mark. Can't wait for it. I'm not sure if it's on in Britain, though, is it? And do you know what the pay-per-view fee is for that?
I don't personally. Do you?
$75. $75. That is outrageous. And we think we get lynched over here, you know, paying £20 for Usyk and Chisora, and these guys have to pay $75. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's a good fight. It's a good, good fight. But $75, it was a bit like the Charlo twins the other week. You know, the Americans seem to have to pay up for the... I know they don't pay for subscriptions like we do. They can, you know, dip in and dip out in terms of online access. But $75 is not cheap, certainly during COVID as well, you know. You know, the promoters and the network should really look at themselves, really, because it's left a bad taste, certainly in my mouth. $75 and people are literally in furlough and not even sure they're keeping their jobs. And yet some of these promoters are literally like having it off in terms of, you know, fees. But it's a good fight. I personally think Gervonta Davis will be too strong. Leo, but that's again, if Leo Santa Cruz keeps him away at range, which Santa Cruz is a great range fighter. But I just think that Gervonta Davis is the younger man. Hopefully he should be the fitter man. And I think his power will really start kicking in, you know, in the second half of the fight. And I think Santa Cruz fades away. And I could see Davis actually stopping it between maybe rounds 8 and 10. That's my own personal view. But it's certainly a great, great matchup, you know. And then where does the winner go, you know, that super featherweight division's, you know, can Cole Frampton get back in the mix, you know? Can he win that world title again? Then who knows, if Santa Cruz was to win it, would there be another bout between Frampton and Santa? I mean, it's an intriguing, intriguing division, and one I'm certainly looking forward to seeing how it all plans out.
Yeah, it's going to be a very interesting fight to see if Santa Cruz can stay away from, you know, Gervonta Davis's power. He's had 23 fights now, Charlie. He is the younger man. He's 25. He's undefeated in those 23 fights. You know, we've seen him here in the UK against Liam Walsh many, many years ago. He has been knocking on the door now for some time. Certainly to elite level, he's obviously part of the Mayweather camp, Floyd Mayweather, you know, number two ranked now in the US, number three in the world, testing fight for him. This is the pinnacle fight to see where and how good Gervonta Davis is. Can he do it? I think he will, Charlie. I think he stopped Santa Cruz. Santa Cruz is now ageing, and I think that sets up some mouth-watering potential bouts within the super featherweight division.
Absolutely, bro. Well, we'll keep all our fight fans aware next Sunday. We'll keep you updated and you know, listening. Every Sunday we're live 8 p.m. So we'll, if you can't see it in the wee hours, we'll certainly give you all thoughts and reviews on the fight. But yeah, certainly looking forward to that.
One more show to mention next week. Estimated ring walk time is 3 a.m. Also, this comes from the Bubble MGM Grand in Nevada. We've got Inoue back in action versus Jason Maloney, the Australian. The fight will be contested over 12 rounds in the bantamweight division, which means the weight limit will be 118 pounds. The contest is for the Unified Bantam Championship of the World with the WBA, IBF and ring belts on the line. The fight will appear on the undercard of Ewald Bronetsky's versus Mikalaya Mayer. Now, the Australian Charlie Maloney has one defeat on his resume, but Inoue, I mean, he is the hardest hitting bantamweight I think I have ever seen.
Yeah, fantastic, Mark. Fantastic, fantastic little fighter. You know, that Daenerys fight, I mean, that was an unbelievable fight for the World Boxing Series. And he really cemented his place, you know, as one of the greatest, certainly in that division. And I can only see one winner there, I really can. Yeah, excited to see him back in the ring. And again, we'll keep all our fight fans updated next week. So sounds like a jam-packed weekend of boxing, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And one big question before I let you go: did you prepare that quote of the week for me?
What do you reckon?
No chance. You've been too busy changing nappies.
Of course I did. Get it on. get the jingle on now, and then I'll do it.
Don't go anywhere. Stay there, Charlie.
Give up on what you really want to do. The person with big dreams is more powerful than the one with all the facts.
Incredible stuff, Charlie. Thank you for joining us tonight. I'll have you back in the studio next week. Go and enjoy the rest of your Sunday evening. And like Charlie said, Fight Fans will be here next Sunday reviewing those mouth-watering bouts. Pay-per-view, Sky Sports. Get it on. Oleksandr Usyk versus Derek Chisora in the heavyweight division.
Okay, take care, guys. Catch you all next week.
Take care, Charlie. Thank you, bro. Yeah, so fantastic to have Charlie on the line live from his home tonight. As I said, he's had a busy day. He's been on daddy daycare duty, and I'm sure he's had his hands full. Right, guys, I'm going to leave now with a bit of a break, and I'm going to leave you with Sam Smith. Now, this was his breakout song, really, with Naughty Boy, La La La. Have a guess what year it was, Charlie, if you're still there. I can't hear you. But it was 2013. Can you believe that? Sam Smith's been around that long. So enjoy this one. I'll catch you very soon.
Your venom, keep it shut. I hate it when you hiss and preach about your new messiah, cause your theories catch fire. I can't find your silver lining. I don't mean to judge, but when you read your speech, it's tiring. Enough is enough.
FM.
Welcome back, guys. I'm just reading here, actually. There was a live poll across Twitter today to try and determine who Tyson Fury's next opponent could be on his UK homecoming on December the 5th. Now, the boxers you could vote on, one was Michael Hunter, two was Carlos Takam, three was Ajit Kabyal, and four was Otto Wallin for the rematch. Now, interested to see this, because I thought Wallin would have been up there, but Michael Hunter is the fans' favourite. So this was a Sunday boxing poll on Twitter, and Michael Hunter, 66% of the votes. Obviously, it is a homecoming for Tyson Fury. I would love to see that happen, as we touched on tonight's show, to be in front of boxing fans. Now, Eddie Hearn has said this week also that he's looking towards November to talk to the British Boxing Board of Control and the government to try and get boxing fans back in stadiums for November, because obviously he's got quite a few bills coming up in November. He will be having discussions, he hopes, with the government and the British Boxing Board of Control to be able to do that. He's got those big fights coming up in December as well, some mouth-watering cards to look forward to. You know, a tasty card potentially towards the end of the year from Frank Warren, and obviously we've got that with his UK homecoming and Tyson Fury, and we've also got the Anthony Joshua card to look forward to in December. You know, interesting time for boxing, as I touched on, really. There's been a lot of boxers inactive this year. They've got mouths to feed. They've got sponsors that, you know, are potentially under financial pressure. It's been a tough year for boxing, like most industries with COVID-19. But there are some big fights coming up, certainly to look forward to the end of the year. So like I said, boxing fans hopefully will be back in stadiums before the end of the year. If we can bring you any news on that over the next couple of weeks, then we will do. Wembley Arena is taking stage now for most of the matchroom events for the upcoming shows. Obviously, Usyk versus Chisora, Katie Taylor, November the 14th, Povetkin versus White, the rematch on November 21st, and obviously the card on December the 4th with Billy Joe Saunders. So at some point, we may have boxers and fans back in that arena, Wembley Arena, towards the end of this year. I was going to try and give you a bit of a quote for Charlie, really, because he likes to do his quotes, but I'll leave that one to him, as he's giving you that this week. Really looking forward to that show, or those shows next week, especially the Derek Chisora versus Alexander Usyk fight. Just to mention also, you may not necessarily know this guy, a boxing coach that, mean, you know, he touched myself and Charlie and many youngsters, really, in London's East End, certainly in the Hoxton area, Pitfield Street, Lion Boys, ABC. They lost recently Roy McDonald. Now, Roy had over 400 bouts as an amateur, losing very little in actual fact. I think he lost something like three bouts. His famous fight was against Dick McTaggart. He beat Dick McTaggart when he came back with the Olympic gold medal. I think that was in 1954. And Roy beat him. It was on the back of the Evening Standard. He told this story many, many times. Very humble guy, Roy. Very, very experienced trainer. He lost his battle with cancer a couple of weeks ago. He would mean a lot to many, as I said, youngsters, notably George Hilliard, who went on to turn professional, and Lawrence Okolie. He helped coach Lawrence in his very, very early days. He was the father of Lee McDonald, who some of our listeners may know, played Zamo in Grange Hill in the 80s, who in himself was a very good amateur boxer. He won two national titles, Lee McDonald. You know, we know these guys well. And Paul Morant, down at Lion Boys Boxing Club in Pitfield Street, is now going to rename his gym in honour and memory of Roy McDonald. Just a fantastic individual, fantastic man, and he will be sadly missed by many in the boxing community, certainly you know, in the area and within the amateur ranks. So yeah, just to share that news, and you know, Roy, wonderful man, you'll be sadly missed. I'm going to leave you very, very soon. We will be picking another song, but as I said, those shows we've got to look forward to next week. We'll be giving you all our reviews. You keep please sharing the word on the show. We're live on Phoenix 98 FM every Sunday night at 8 p.m. We're on Twitter, On The Ropes FM1. We're on Instagram at On The Ropes, and we're on Facebook at On The Ropes Facebook group. So please keep sharing the word, because we are growing and growing and growing. We're thoroughly enjoying what we do. We can't get to the live events, which we are, missing immensely. We enjoy getting to the live events and analysing the live bouts, speaking to the boxers and giving you our feedback and interviews. So we are missing that. And like I said, hopefully that will be back very, very, very soon. I'm going to play you this, just a bit of an advert before we go. And this really will highlight what we're going through currently.
I wash my hands to protect my family.
I wear a face covering to protect my mates.
I make space to protect my colleagues.
Hands.
Face.
Space.
I wash my hands to protect strangers.
I wear a face covering to protect other passengers.
I make space to protect you.
Hands.
Face.
Space. As we spend more time indoors, we need to do whatever we can to help protect each other from coronavirus. So please, wash hands, cover face, make space.
This is Phoenix 98 FM.
98 FM. Very true there. We need to just follow the protocols to beat COVID-19. We cannot let it beat us. It's a, it's a 12-round fight, and we've certainly got to hang in there, and we will get through this. We'll come through the other side. It's been a very, very difficult period for all. We've missed our loved ones. We're missing our friends. Hopefully you've enjoyed tonight's music, because I certainly have. I am going to leave you with a bit of a song now towards the end of the show. This one's going to be by Clean Bandit and Mabel. It's called TikTok, featuring 24K Golden. So it's in the charts currently. It's a fantastic track. As I said, we've got all those key fights, big fights to look forward to next week. We'll be here Sunday night, Phoenix 98 FM. Don't miss it. Charlie will be back in the studio, and hopefully we can bring you a special guest also to discuss all things boxing. So, as I said, I've really been left on my lonesome tonight. I had Charlie for a little bit. Hopefully you've enjoyed the show as much as I have, and we will catch you next week. I'm going to play out with this one now, as I said, by Clean Bandit. Enjoy this, and we will catch you next week here live at Phoenix 98 FM. And remember, guys, you're always in with a puncher's chance. Have a knockout week. We love you. Long time.
When you touch my body and you say my name, giving me what I need.
Tick tock, tick tock.
Every minute, so lost in it, like you're in my bed. Every hour, give you power, I'm losing my head instead.
Tick tock, tick tock.
24/7, got you on my mind. Think about you all the time. My body wants you night and day. But my head is screaming, go away.
Tick tock, tick tock, tick tock.
24/7, got you on my mind.
on 98 FM and online. This is Phoenix FM. This is Phoenix 98 FM.
I wash my hands to protect my family.
I wear a face covering to protect my mates.
I make space to protect my colleagues.
Hands.
Face.
Space.
I wash my hands to protect strangers.
I wear a face covering to protect other passengers.
I make space to protect you.
Hands.
Face.
Space. As we spend more time indoors, we need to do whatever we can to help protect each other from coronavirus. So please, wash hands, cover face, make space.
Phoenix FM. On 98 FM and online, this is Phoenix FM.
Good evening, welcome along to the best of the guests here on Phoenix FM, where for the next 2 hours, I'll be bringing you some of the highlights of Phoenix FM's past week.
Mikey's Breakfast on Brentwood and Billericay's Phoenix FM. It's a wonderful Friday morning. Now, on the phone, I've taken it upon myself again to call somebody to clear up a load of nonsense that you read in the press. So I've got Joe Flanagan on the phone. We've called you. You're one of the directors of Pure Ingenious, aren't you, Joe?
Yeah, that's right, Mike. Pure Ingenious Limited.